'Tis the season. I encourage you today to reach for spiritual things and to have some fun too. It's fun is allowed, and this is a season to have some fun and to see and experience the Christmas spirit and joy. Even after all these years, I still get excited about the season, the lights and the decorations and just all that goes into the season. It is a lot of fun. And if you'll remember from our message series a couple of weeks ago, we want to make the rest the best. I think my math is correct that we have about 23 days left in 2024, 23 more days before we turn the corner into 2025, and it would be easy to say, well, I'm just going to wait until then. I'm going to be miserable until then. I'm going to be sad until then, and then January 1, you know, I'll turn the page and make new resolution and get excited about a new year. No. I can make the rest of this year the best of this year, regardless of how challenging it has been, regardless of how difficult it has been. Somehow, in some way, I want to make the rest the best. And I know there is struggle. I know there is difficulty, but also there is hope. I love that Christmas song, "The Thrill of Hope." The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. It's interesting to me. One of the great works of C.S. Lewis, "The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe." In that story, whether you've read it or watched it as a movie, Mr. Tumnus is explaining Narnia to Lucy. She's just a little girl, and she's wide-eyed about all that she is seeing and all that she is experiencing. But you see, the White Witch in the movie has cast a spell that makes it bitterly cold, and constant deep snow and forever gloomy is Narnia. To Lucy, the cold and the snow signals that Christmas is coming. But Mr. Tumnus says, no. In Narnia, it's always winter, but never Christmas. Always winter, but never Christmas, because we don't have hope here. The only thing we have to look forward to is more of the same. The only thing we plan to experience is more cold, more darkness, more hardness, more sadness, and more gloomy days. You say, what a sad tale, preacher. I would say tale. For some people, that is reality. That is life. That is what you feel even in this season and maybe feeling in your heart today because you are up against it in some way and life is hard and there are challenges on every side, and I hear about the thrill of hope, but I don't have any hope. I hear about the possibilities, but I don't have any possibilities in front of me. I hear about opportunity, but I don't know of any opportunity around me. And my heart is a little bit hard, and my spirit is a bit cold. There's no twinkle in my eye today, and my imagination can only dream of another nightmare. It's always winter and never Christmas. What is Christmas anyway? I mean, what does all of this mean? I hear people getting excited and everyone fusses over decoration and everybody gets excited about a Christmas party or a gathering of friends or family. But what is Christmas anyway? Well, I assure you that Christmas is not the commercial, chaotic experience that we have made it out to be. Sure, the gifts are fun and the parties are fun, but that should not be the focus of this season. That should not be the thing that we have at the very top of our list when we think about this season. Why? Because Christmas is hope. Jesus came to a world that was in trouble. Jesus came to a world that was broken by sin. There was heartache. There was emotional pain. It had been winter for a long, long time. In fact, they had been in winter for about 400 years. 400 years where there was no voice of God. 400 years when there were no miracles per se. 400 years when there had been no joy, and very few of them believed that anything could really happen. Proverbs 13 and 12 is interesting. The verse says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's the first part of that verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Deferred means to push aside or to delay. I wonder if you've ever believed for something a really long time. I would imagine if I were to ask for a show of hands, there would be many, many hands go up in this room of people who have believed. Maybe you've prayed for something a really long time. Maybe you've hoped something would happen for a really, really long time. You've prayed on it, but it just hasn't happen. It's a real term. They call it hope sick. People get hope sick when you have believed for something. That's what hope sick is, when you've believed for something, but it is repeatedly delayed or repeatedly denied, or it just remains unfulfilled in your life. All of a sudden, when somebody talks about a good thing or some good news, you get a pit in your stomach because you don't see that happening in your life, and you don't believe it's possible in your life. So hope sick, it can mess you up. It can make you feel like, you know, I've got this discomfort. I've got this emotional distress. I'm feeling this despair in my life. It's always winter where I am. It's always winter in my house. It's always winter in my marriage. It's always winter in my finances. It's always winter. Not one day of difficulty, but days and days and days. I didn't get the job, and matter. Truth is, I didn't get the last three jobs. That relationship didn't work out, and who am I kidding? The last three relationships have not worked out. It's always winter. I'm hope sick. But I came to talk to people today, came to talk to people who feel hope sick, people who may feel as though you are losing hope, people who may feel like you are struggling down in the deep of your soul. You may put on a good face. You may wear red in this season. You may go to the mall and get out in the hustle and bustle, but deep down there is a pain because you are losing hope. I've come to tell you today that you're not alone. There's many people in this room that get it. I get it. I'm preaching today and I get it. I've been there. I've felt it. I just can't tell it. But all of us have experienced this hopelessness. And I want to give you, in the time I have remaining today, I want to give you three truths about God's hope. Three truths about God's hope that will never fail. If you're in the room today and you feel like giving up, if it seems as though you are stuck in a winter that will not break, if it it feels like your faith has grown cold, if you've been diagnosed as hope sick, I want to give you some truth today. And here's the first truth. Hope has a name. Hope has a name. I understand today that every problem we have has a name. We have named every challenge. We've named all of our disappointments. Many of us have disappointments that we raise almost like a second and third and fourth children in our minds. We coddle those disappointments and we hold on to them. We've been let down and we almost pet them and nurture them and just make sure that disappointment remains alive and breathing and is fed with a little more worry and a little more complaining and a little more sadness. But hope has a name. It has a name. Just a side note today, the enemy only wants you to speak the name of your problem. He only wants you to think about the struggle that you're living in. But I dare you to learn the name of hope today. I dare you to speak the name of hope today. Your disappointments may be clamoring for attention. They may be poking you in the back and tapping you on the shoulder and trying to get you to focus on them today. But I need to set them aside and remember the name of hope today, because hope absolutely has a name. You'll find it in Matthew 1 and 21. She, speaking of Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name. Everybody say it, Jesus. You need to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Hope has a name. Don't be afraid to call his name. Don't be afraid to shout his name. Don't be afraid to sing his name. Don't be afraid to whisper his name, to declare his name in your life. You can call his name Jesus. He will save people. He came to save you today. He came to save all of us, save us from the world, and to save us from ourselves. He can deliver you out of your trouble. Look at somebody and tell them Christmas is coming. I know it may feel like it's always winter. It may feel like it's always difficult. It may feel like it's always sad, but Christmas is coming. It's coming. We see hope throughout the epistles. 1 Timothy 1 and 1 says, Jesus Christ, Jesus, our hope. Titus 2 and 13 says, we wait for the blessed hope. 1 Peter 1 and 3, he has given us new birth into a living hope. It's throughout this Bible. Hope, and hope has a name. Do you know this today? Our hope is not in a what. Our hope is in a who, and that who is Jesus. You see, if you get focused on the what, if you get locked in on the what, you'll be disappointed time and time again with the what. Because the what changes, the job plays out, the money gets funny, the relationship struggles. But Jesus never gets funny. Jesus does not struggle. Jesus is the constant in our lives. We want our relationships to be constant. If you're married today, I want that one to remain constant forever. And you may have to work through some difficult days and some challenging seasons. But if you get Jesus in the middle of that relationship, if you get Jesus at work, in your home, hope is a who. And his name is Jesus. Hope's name is Jesus. Because names mean things. How many know what your name means? Maybe when you were born. Yeah, lots of hands. Daryl means beloved. I mean, obviously, right? I mean, hello. Kristen means follower of Christ. Jude means praised. What does your name mean? Jesus, name Jesus means God saves. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And the angel declared in Matthew 1 and 21 and 22, he's going to save people from their sin. He's going to save people from themselves. Philippians 2, 9, 10, and 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I believe Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he's telling them about a day that's coming. It's that blessed hope. But you know what? While we know there is a day coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, I don't have to wait until that day. I don't have to wait until that moment in the clouds somewhere. I can acknowledge him right now. I can bow my knee today. I can confess him today. I can say, Jesus, you are my hope, and I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Because hope has a name. We can pray in his name. Bible said, whatever you do, do in his name. Because his name breaks the curse. His name breaks the chains. If you're going to be healed today, you're not going to be healed in the name of Daryl. You're going to be healed by the name of Jesus. If you're going to be delivered today, you're not going to be delivered because I am preaching. You're going to be delivered because I am preaching about Jesus. And Jesus is hope for every man, every woman, every boy, every child in church kids today. Jesus is our hope. Is anybody thankful that hope has a name? The next truth you need to know is that hope has perfect timing. Hope has perfect timing. Just think for a moment about the arrival of Jesus. I mean, it's fascinating when you really get into the history of all that was happening when Jesus was born and when Jesus arrived into the world, for everything that had to happen for this to come about. Because in the Old Testament, there were more than 300 prophecies about his coming, 300 prophecies about his life, 300 prophecies that dealt with the ministry that he was going to have among the people. In Genesis 3 and 15, it talks about him being born of a woman. That is fulfilled in Galatians 4 and 4. In Isaiah 7 and 14, the prophecy is that he's going to be born of a virgin. That is fulfilled in Matthew 1, 21, 22 and 23. In Micah 5 and 2, he declares and prophesies that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. That is fulfilled in Matthew 2 and 1. From the beginning of humanity, people have anticipated and believed and hoped for an arriving Savior. There had been centuries and centuries of waiting. When did he come? Why did he come when he came? Let me tell you when he came. He came at the exact perfect moment. He came at the exact right moment. Time. In fact, Galatians 4 and 4 tells us, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. When do you think he'll get here? At the right time. When do you think he'll answer my prayer? At the right time. When do you think he'll touch my body? At the right time. When do you think he'll help me with my kids? It's going to be at the right time. Because God is never late. And you know what? He's never early either. He's always right on time. There's people in this room today feel like God is late, late, late. You've been praying a long time. You've been believing a long time. You've been struggling with this a long time. You've been waiting so long, but now you feel those symptoms of hope sick. I'm feeling some despair. I'm feeling some struggle. I don't know. I feel like maybe I should just give up hope that this is never going to happen. I'm never going to experience that joy or that excitement or the thrill of hope. I've come to tell somebody to wait just a little longer, to hold on to hope, because hope has perfect timing. he's not forgotten you. He's got perfect timing. Why did God wait? what was so special about that particular time? I'll give you just a quick history. As I mentioned a moment ago, there was 400 years. They call it the silent years or the intertestamental period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I know when we're reading our Bible, we just go from one page to the next, but that one page to the next could be 100 years. That one page to the next, because we don't have every single detail and we don't have every single day recorded. And between Old Testament and New Testament were 400 years. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but it was translated into Greek. They call that the Septuagint. It's the first five books of the Bible that were translated from Hebrew to Greek. There were very few in the time that Jesus came that really understood Hebrew, but everyone spoke a little Greek. And so Jesus is coming at the right time. The right time. Not only that, Alexander the Great had conquered the world, and finally, with this progressive leader, everyone is allowed to ask questions again, and people are curious, and now they have access to a Bible in a language that they understand, and good news is able to spread much faster than it ever has before. You see, while they were waiting, God was working. While they were feeling like, man, life is a mess and life is a problem and there's so many issues that we're dealing with, God was at work for them. And when the right time came, God sent his son. I'm here to tell you today that God is never late. He's still working on your behalf. Feel like it's always winter? Christmas is coming. You feel like it's always dark and gloomy and cold and broken? New life is coming. Hope has a name. And hope has perfect timing, because he is at work right now. I pray somebody could feel some hope rising in your spirit today. You don't see any evidence of him working. You don't see anything that looks like God is working, but behind the scenes in your life, God is preparing, God is working, God is installing, God is updating, God is upgrading, God is doing all of the things that need to be done. And in a moment, in the blink of an eye, something's going to turn in your life. Something's going to happen. Someone's going to arrive. The phone is going to ring. Something is going to break. And you're going to say, whoa, I'm glad I didn't let go. I'm glad I didn't throw in the towel. I'm glad I didn't give up, because hope has arrived right on time. So hope has a name. And hope has perfect timing. Let me tell you this today, hope is coming again. Hope is coming again. I know we have a daily schedule. I know we have our weekly plans. I know we've got our idea of how life is supposed to go and all of the things that are supposed to happen. I'm going to tell you something. Our ultimate goal today, regardless of what is on our to-do list, regardless of what kind of notes you've typed into your phone, and this is what I got to do, and this is what I've got to accomplish, I need to make sure that at the top of every list Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It sounds silly, but I wonder if this little exercise wouldn't work. How many make lists? You type things into your phone or you grab scratch paper. Yeah, lots of you. I wonder what would happen if when we go to make the list, I was in a store yesterday, I was making a list, I was having to get dimensions, trying to make sure something was gonna fit and fit into a space. And so I've got this note that's got, you know, width and height and depth and all of the measurements that I need. I wonder if before every list begins, grocery list, to-do list at work, what assignments are still outstanding for me to graduate, for me to get through this school. What if at the top of every list, I just say, Jesus, you're still my priority, and I'm looking for you. I'm in this store looking for Oreos, but I'm also looking for you. I'm in this mall looking for that perfect gift, but Jesus, I'm looking for you. I got to figure out what has to happen in my home, in my relationships, and in my finances, but Jesus, I'm looking for you. I got things to do today, but I need to keep my eye on the eastern sky. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's why you and I can always have hope, because hope has a name. And hope has perfect timing. And hope is coming again. What if God doesn't heal me on this side? Hope is coming again. What if that circumstance doesn't change while I'm still here? Hope is coming again. What do you mean, Mr. Tumnus? I don't know what you're talking about. Curse of a white witch. I don't know what you're talking about. Curse of sin and shame and always going to be winter in my life and always going to be disappointing and always going to be depressing and always going to be a bad day. No, Christmas is coming. Hope is here. His presence is alive and it's real in my life. So look one more time at Proverbs 13 and 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. What is that? Does that mean? Is that just more poetry from the Proverbs that I don't quite understand? No, remember the tree in the Garden of Eden. Remember the tree that God told Adam and his wife Eve, hey, you can do anything you want in this garden. You can have everything belongs to you except for this one tree. I want you to leave that. That's mine. That belongs to me. You leave that alone. That tree represented an unbroken relationship between God and man. But of course, you know the story. Adam and Eve partook of the tree and sin came and sin broke the relationship between God and man. And man was banished from the garden, separated from God. And all of a sudden it was winter. It was winter. But that tree shows up again in Revelation 22. And the Bible said that from that tree is flowing healing for the nations. And because of the healing that is flowing from that tree, there will be no pain and there will be no sorrow and there will be no sadness. Because it's not always winter when you have God. It's not always sadness when you have God. I'm not minimizing your challenge. I'm not minimizing your difficult day. I'm not minimizing the diagnosis you are wrestling with in your body. I'm here to tell you that hope has a name. And if you know the name of every doctor but haven't yet called the name of Jesus, if you've cursed everybody who's ever been laid or left in your life, but you've never acknowledged God in all of your ways, Lord, I trust your timing. When are you going to show up? At the right time. When are you going to work? At the right time. And hear me today, if you feel like you've lost it all, hope is coming again. And when hope arrives, everything is made new. Father, I pray today for people. I pray your spirit. I pray your hope. I pray your peace, Lord. I pray your love. Your peace passes all understanding. I've got so much in my life I don't understand. But I rest in your peace. Because I don't have to understand it all. I trust you. I trust you. I pray today for people in this room, Lord, you know who every single one of them are. People who have lost hope. Or maybe somebody that's feeling hope sick. Maybe it's been so long since they felt good in their body. Maybe it's been so long since they've had relief in their mind. Maybe the anxiety, maybe the darkness, maybe the winter has persisted. And they don't believe they'll ever see light again. Today, Lord, I speak hope. I speak life into their ability to believe. I invite them to call your name today. It may start as a whisper, Jesus. 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 Can I tell you today that if you find yourself in that separated place, wait a minute. Me and God are not together. We're not what we need to be. I'm running and he's constantly chasing after me. And try as I may, I've not been able to outrun him. I'm going to tell you some truth today. You never will outrun him. Because if he gets in his mind to make a difference in your life, you might as well submit. Stop running and throw your hands in the air and say, here I am, Lord. Take my life and make it what you want it to be. Hope. Hope. Maybe today is the day that you need to confess Jesus. Declare your allegiance and your praise to him. How do I do that? Just pray this with me. Say, Jesus, you are my hope. Jesus, you are my joy. I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm asking you to make the difference in my life. I'm inviting you to be the source of my joy and not stuff. I'm asking you to be my healing and not depending on others. I'm asking you to save me, Lord, because I can't save myself. I repent of my sin. I acknowledge that I am a mess without you. But today, winter is over. Today, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen.